ripping off his shirt and jacket, and using them to help corner his prey. Throwing his jacket against the wall to the right, he had heard Catherine stop short and change direction. Now, having thrown his shirt ahead to the left, Malak had heard her stop again. He had effectively corralled Catherine against the wall by establishing points beyond which she dared not pass. Now he waited, ears straining in the silence. She has only one direction she can move, directly toward me. Even so, Malak heard nothing. Either Catherine was paralyzed with fear, or she had decided to stand still and wait for help to enter Pod 5. Either way, she loses. Nobody would be entering Pod 5 anytime soon. Malak had disabled the outer keypad with a very crude, yet very effective technique. After using Trish's keycard, he had rammed a single dime deep into the keycard slot to prevent any other keycard use without first dismantling the entire mechanism. You and I are alone, Catherine, for as long as this takes. Malak inched silently forward, listening for any movement. Catherine Solomon would die tonight in the darkness of her brother's museum. A poetic end. Malak looked forward to sharing the news of Catherine's death with her brother. The old man's anguish would be long-awaited revenge. Suddenly, in the darkness, to Malak's great surprise, he saw a tiny glow in the distance and realized Catherine had just made a deadly error in judgment. She's phoning for help. The electronic display that had just flickered to life was hovering waist-high, about 20 yards ahead, like a shining beacon on a vast ocean of black. Malak had been prepared to wait Catherine out, but now he wouldn't have to. Malak sprang into motion, racing toward the hovering light, knowing he had to reach her before she could complete her call for help. He was there in a matter of seconds, and he lunged, arms outstretched on either side of her glowing cell phone, preparing to engulf her. Malak's fingers jammed into a solid wall, bending backward and almost breaking. His head collided next, crashing into a steel beam. He cried out in pain as he crumpled beside the wall. Cursing, he clambered back to his feet, pulling himself up by the waist-high horizontal strut on which Catherine Solomon had cleverly placed her open cell phone. Catherine was running again, this time with no concern for the noise her hand was making as it bounced rhythmically off the evenly spaced metal studs of Pod 5. Run! If she followed the wall all the way around the pod, she knew that sooner or later she would feel the exit door. Where the hell is the guard? The even spacing of the studs continued as she ran with her left hand on the sidewall and her right out in front of her for protection. When will I reach the corner? The sidewall seemed to go on and on, but suddenly the rhythm of the studs was broken. Her left hand hit empty space for several long strides, and then the studs began again. Catherine slammed on the brakes and backed up, feeling her way across the smooth metal panel. Why are there no studs here? She could hear her attacker lumbering loudly after her now, groping his way down the wall in her direction. Even so, it was a different sound that scared Catherine even more. The distant rhythmic banging of a security guard pounding his flashlight against the Pod 5 door. The guard can't get in? While the thought was terrifying, the location of his banging, diagonally to her right, instantly oriented Catherine. She could now picture where in Pod 5 she was located. The visual flash brought with it an unexpected realization. She now knew what this flat panel on the wall was. Every pod was equipped with a specimen bay, a giant movable wall that could be retracted for transporting oversized specimens in and out of the pods. Like those of an airplane hangar, this door was mammoth, and Catherine in her wildest dreams had never imagined needing to open it. At the moment, though, it seemed like her only hope. Is it even operable? Catherine fumbled blindly in the blackness, searching the bay door until she found the large metal handle. Grasping it, she threw her weight backward, trying to slide open the door. Nothing. She tried again. It didn't budge. She could hear her attacker closing faster now, homing in on the sounds of her efforts. The bay door is locked. Wild with panic, she slid her hands all over the door, feeling the surface for any latch or lever. She suddenly hit what felt like a vertical pole. She followed it down to the floor, crouching, and could feel it was inserted into a hole in the cement. A security rod. She stood up, grabbed the pole, and, lifting with her legs, slid the rod up and out of the hole. He's almost here. Catherine groped now for the handle, found it again, and heaved back on it with all her might. The massive panel seemed barely to move, and yet a sliver of moonlight now sliced into Pod 5. Catherine pulled again. The shaft of light from outside the building grew wider. A little more. She pulled one last time, sensing her attacker was now only a few feet away. Leaping toward the light, Catherine wriggled her slender body sideways into the opening. A hand materialized in the darkness, clawing at her, trying to pull her back inside. She heaved herself through the opening, pursued by a massive bare arm that was covered with tattooed scales. The terrifying arm writhed like an angry snake trying to seize her. Catherine spun and fled down the long, pale outer wall of Pod 5. The bed of loose stones that surrounded the entire perimeter of the SMSC cut into her stockinged feet as she ran, but she pressed on, heading for the main entrance. The night was dark, but with her eyes fully dilated from the utter blackness of Pod 5, she could see perfectly, almost as if it were daylight. Behind her, the heavy bay door ground open, and she heard heavy footsteps accelerating in pursuit down the side of the building. The footsteps seemed impossibly fast. I'll never outrun him to the main entrance. She knew her Volvo was closer, but even that would be too far. I'm not going to make it. Then Catherine realized she had one final card to play. As she neared the corner of Pod 5, she could hear his footsteps quickly overtaking her in the darkness. Now or never. Instead of rounding the corner, Catherine suddenly cut hard to her left, away from the building, out onto the grass. As she did so, she closed her eyes tightly, placed both hands over her face, and began running totally blind across the lawn. The motion-activated security lighting that blazed to life around Pod 5 transformed night into day instantly. Catherine heard a scream of pain behind her as the brilliant floodlights seared into her assailant's hyperdilated pupils with over 25 million candle power of light. She could hear him stumbling on the loose stones. Catherine kept her eyes tightly closed, trusting herself on the open lawn. When she sensed she was far enough away from the building and the lights, she opened her eyes, corrected her course, and ran like hell through the dark. Her Volvo's keys were exactly where she always left them, in the center console. Breathless, she seized the keys in her trembling hands and found the ignition. The engine roared to life, and her headlights flipped on, illuminating a terrifying sight. A hideous form raced toward her. Catherine froze for an instant. The creature caught in her headlights was a bald and bare-chested animal, its skin covered with tattooed scales, symbols, and text. He bellowed as he ran into the glare, raising his hands before his eyes like a cave-dwelling beast seeing sunlight for the first time. She reached for the gear shift, but suddenly